to another edition of the Pegcast. I'm your host, Michael Pagani, joined alongside Mississauga Steelheads in-game host, Kendra Doyle. Kendra, welcome to the Pegcast. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
My first question to open up this interview is, how have you been doing recently? Obviously, the holidays have kind of come and gone. Did you do anything fun there?
Over the holidays, I'm from Barrie, so I went home, obviously. I left St. Catharines. I kind of have the same little break that the guys do, like, in between games. Like, we had a game, I don't even know when, but there's, like, a six-day break period. So we had our game against, I believe it was Ottawa. That was our last one before the holiday season. We took the win, so can't complain. And then we got back at it with the Spits and with Peterborough on the 28th and the 29th. So that was kind of like a little bit into my holiday season, but I still had great holidays. Good to spend time with some family, but also I always see my family because my dad's at like every Steelheads game. So it was good though. What about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, my holidays were very good. Personally speaking, the 1 week where I was at the World Junior Training Camp, that was very busy from Sunday to Wednesday. And then with my mentorship program that I'm in, my mentor brought me along for a Leafs game there against the Blue Jackets. That game, the Leafs, you know, were down 5-0, came back, ended up losing in overtime. So I'm like, oh, you know what? That's just typical Leafs. My holidays were a lot jam-packing, interviews in, and then obviously with the World Juniors going on, you know, that was disappointing. But I told my buddies, I was like, look, Canada's bringing over a weaker team, we're not meddling, they called me crazy, look what happened.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I know puck, they don't know puck. With exams being over, like my last exam was December 9th, so I was off for more than a month now, right? So that's what was really nice and just relaxing. Finally catching up with OHL action. I was super busy with school, so I couldn't really follow along with the OHL as much as I did last year. My holidays were just jam-packed, and that World Junior Training Camp was so much fun. Like, yeah. As someone who, we're both trying to get into sports media, and we're just doing stuff to add to our resume, right? And that's something that I'll always remember. So that was really fun.
Yeah, like, I think it's so important to go to those kind of things, and I wish I could have. I just had so much on my plate that I just couldn't get there. But obviously, like, I'm trying to get in for the World Juniors next year. So fingers crossed on that one. But
well, it's back in Ottawa. We got Canada and USA in the same group. First time in like 4 years, I believe. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting and it's not too far. So that's why I'm trying to get involved with it. I'd love to host it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the importance of having your dad at the Steelheads game. There was an article that was posted, that was written by Nicole Soroka, you know, friend of actually mine. I had sports journalism with her. But, you know, you guys went in depth about your relationship with your dad and how important he has been for your sports reporting. So do you want to just kind of expand on that?
Yeah. So my dad used to play for the Sudbury Wolves long time ago. He comes from a hockey family. I'm an only child, so I have grown up like literally so one-on-one with each of my parents. I played a whole ton of sports when I grew up. But my dad and I have always been extremely close, and that comes from the Boston Bruins. A lot of people like hate to hear it, but that's the reality. My dad's been a lifelong Bruins fan, so I kind of grew up in that environment. And so there's so many memories for me, but my dad has been with me like every step of this journey. From when I was volunteering for the Barrie Colts, when I was working with the Bay Cats, Hockey Canada, they went to like 3 games, I think. And I think now my dad has only missed 3 Steelheads home games. He literally like could not be more proud of me, and having that like second background is so important to me. Like, it's a support system. And I think especially like in this industry, like you'll have a mentor, like I have a mentor, but also just having like a family member or a friend who is like your exact, like you're just someone you can lean on when things get tough, because reality is sport media is tough sometimes. It will kick you in the butt and you kind of just have to learn to like pick your head up and go. So there's been times where, say, I didn't get a position or I had a bad game and I'm just like so down on myself, and my dad was right there for me to be like, you know what? It's just a bump in the road. Pick yourself up and keep going. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to add, like, it's very important to have that support system. I know that, like with my family, I have an older sister, but no one else is going into sports media. So I'm kind of just carving my own path. And, you know, with you and all the accomplishments that you've done, it's quite incredible to see that, you know, with your dad, previously playing in the OHL, did that kind of help you envision yourself hosting OHL games?
If I'm going to be honest, like I never, like if you would have asked me probably last year, if I thought that I'd be like a in-game host in the OHL, like I probably wouldn't have said yes, because like I didn't even know that was like a possibility, right? Like I was taking it step by step. Like Hockey Canada, that was my first ever hosting experience. I haven't even been a host for a year. So it's like crazy that the development within a year like led me to this. And even my dad said that, he goes, you just have to be open to any opportunity because you don't know like where it'll get you. And reporting and hosting are very similar. It takes the same kind of personality. So it's just nice to like have him there to be like, you know what, this is a good thing, keep on going. So it's crazy, like he played in the OHL, but like he said the OHL was so much different when he was in the league. So I don't even know if they had hosts back then. But he was like, it's just nice to like see it going. Cause if he had a son, I don't doubt that his son would be in the OHL. So kind of like an even playing field.
Do you ever watch his highlights? Does he have highlights?
So take this in. He played when literally they had like, they didn't have to sign the media. So if he didn't sign it, none of his stuff gets released. So none of his stuff is released. I've tried so hard to find like, cause he used to fight like there was no tomorrow. My dad fought Ty Domi. And I'm just like, I want to see that fight. And he's just like, it's not out there.
You're just going to take my word for it.
Yeah. I literally just have to like trust him.
That is crazy. I mean, like obviously having a dad that's played in the OHL is freaking sick. Like that's fucking awesome, I gotta say. Yeah, it's wild how they had to sign off on media stuff for it to get released. Whereas today it just gets released with the snap of your fingers.
It's well, cause like the players, like once they sign their contract, they sign everything, versus I guess back then, like they had the choice. Like literally there's nothing, like it's not out there, and it's crazy. I can find all his like junior stuff, but like can't find any of his OHL stuff.
Let's talk about the Boston Bruins, another connection between you and your dad. And obviously you're probably one of Charlie McAvoy's biggest fans there. How did you end up being a Bruins fan in an area that's probably surrounded by a ton of Leaf fans?
Okay, so again, to like bring my dad in, my dad, we know, played for the like Sudbury Wolves. He loved Bobby Orr. Like he grew up as a Bobby Orr fan. So that kind of just sparked, it just kept it going. My dad has 5 siblings and he's the youngest and the oldest. They are born on the same day, 11 years apart. And those two are the 2 Bruins fans. The rest are Leafs. So my dad and my uncle like have always been huge Bruins fans. So when I was born, I had like a Bruins bottle, a Bruins blanket, I had Bruins clothes, a soother, like I had everything Bruins. So there's pictures of me at like 3 months old with like Bruins stuff. Like this is since day one. And like In Nicole's article that she wrote on me, it mentions like how when I was watching like the game seven of the 2011 Stanley Cup, like that was like the biggest moment of like, I was only seven, but I was like, that's like my biggest Bruins moment. Like ever since I've been like do or die Bruins. And I love Charlie McAvoy. I have since he got drafted to us. Like literally the day he got drafted, I was like, you're my favorite.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's an absolute stud of a defenseman, got extended just recently. So he's locked in long term and is probably going to be the next captain after Marchand retires. Let's be real.
Yeah, I was honestly shocked that he didn't get it this year. But also now that I look at it, Marchand does deserve it.
Now, the Bruins have had a lot of problems come the Stanley Cup Finals, I would say. St. Louis, Chicago, they only have one cup with the Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci core. Are you worried about the Bruins or no?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm worried about them or not, because we have really strong goaltenders that are like Swayman's young. He's good. Allmark, I love that man. I have absolutely nothing but good things to say about him. I'm worried about scoring.
Okay.
That our offense scares me, because you can't just actually, with Trent Frederick randomly going on like a scoring spree, maybe I'm not that worried. Freddie has really like climbed the ladders in my like favorite Bruins right now, because he's just like all of a sudden he's so good. And it's like, where is this coming from? But like, I think I'm more scared of like the thing is, everyone's always like, yeah, the Bruins are gonna be really bad, and then all of a sudden they're so good. You know what I mean? But then we get to playoffs and it's like, wait, we're just gonna dive down. I'm not worried about them during the regular season, because I think that they're gonna be good no matter what. It's producing in playoffs, because always near playoffs we somehow get five guys injured, and the injuries aren't released till we're done. And it's like, okay, why are they playing that? Like, Allmark should not have been playing last year in like our first round. Put Swayman. Yeah.
Well, regardless, I mean, the Bruins dealt with so many injuries. That's why they acquired the players they did, with Dmitry Orlov, right? They gave up a haul for him. Yeah. Who else? It was there's another big trade deadline that I'm forgetting. Bertuzzi. That's it. And then Bertuzzi, right? They acquire him, and he had a decent playoff. He was over point per game, and then they let him walk because they just couldn't assign. They couldn't afford him.
No, and like a big thing was, what was Bergeron gonna do? We had no idea, because that man is like the most mysterious person ever. I still am convinced that he's like gonna randomly come back.
That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. That is long gone.
I know, but it's just like, it's sketchy. Like, I wish he was like there for another season, because we could so use it. Like, we could so use just him. But I think Marchand has really like done his job as a captain. Like, I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, hey, Marchand, like, I don't think you should be captain. But now, like, he's really stepped up. Like, you can see him taking, like, the leadership roles throughout games. Like, he's telling the guys, like, what is need to be done. And it's really, like, important. So, yeah.
What has been your favorite Bruins memory? Like, is it the Stanley Cup?
No. So, that memory, like, will always be, like, so important to me. But I will never forget in 2021 when I was at the Bruins game in Toronto and McAvoy took a selfie with me and just like acknowledged me. So that was definitely like the best moment of my life. We were up against the glass and I had a sign from Charlie McAvoy, and this was after COVID. It was the first Bruins game in Toronto after COVID. And I've never gotten a puck from McAvoy till that moment. And he's skating around with, like, I think it was 5 minutes left in warmups. And He picks up a puck and like comes to me, points at me, throws it over. And I had my phone like at the glass and he was like pointing at for like a picture. So I took a picture and then I was crying. And he was like standing at the glass while I was crying. And he was like, just making sure if I was okay. And I was like, thank you so much.
I am not okay right now though. I am just like absolutely like completely emotionally gone.
I was like literally the biggest mess ever. I was bawling my eyes out. And as I'm walking up the stairs, people are like, oh my God, she got a puck. I'm like, guys, I don't care about the puck. He took a picture with me. Like, I really will. I'll never forget that picture. It's in my favorites album, For Life. I have a picture of a, like, this girl took a picture of me too.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I will never get rid of those. They're framed. I'm thinking about getting like a whole blanket made. Like, it's crazy. And then like ever since I've gone to games, like he gives me one every single time, except for in Buffalo last in November. McAvoy, we have problems for that. I don't know what that was about, but
dude, he showed you up that game.
I know.
Like, big time. That was crazy.
He literally big timed me. And I was like, what? Like, I saw you. He gave me one in Buffalo the following season. And then when I went to Boston in February, it was like, oh my God, you're in Boston. I was like, yeah. And
I
then
did all the games. That's crazy. Getting back to, I guess, who you are in your career, second year sport management student at Brock, how come you decided to choose their SBMA program?
So I was deciding between Ryerson, well, TMU, sorry, and sport management here at Brock, but I'm not a city girl. I don't think I could live in the city at the moment. I probably could now. But when I was going into my first year, I was like, I don't think that's like a good thing for me. I was 18. So I'm like, I'm a scared little girl. But also I was just kind of looking at like what the options would be. And like, I just wanted to keep my doors open in case anything like happened, because it's so competitive. So I wanted to get like a degree that was like, cause it's basically a business degree. So that's what I wanted. And I don't know, like here I'm learning about all, literally every single aspect of sports, things that I wouldn't, like I never have even thought of. But also like I was gonna do exchanges and also like internships and stuff like that. So I took all of that into consideration. I was very interested in the sport media at TMU, but I just think that this was the better option for me. So far so good. I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, you've got experience as a, you know, a ringside reporter with the Badgers. How did that kind of help you achieve future success there?
So I did a lot of ringside reporting my first year, and I've done a few this game. This year. But it really gave me a lot of confidence, like just like understanding like the ins, the don'ts, the what you want to talk about and stuff like that. Cause I got to work with like a lot of their TV production people who have done this kind of stuff. And it was just a really good experience. And it led me to like this year I did their Paint the Meridian Red. So it's the basketball games, and I got to be a sideline reporter for that, which was really cool. I've never done basketball, so I got to learn a lot of things and also get some really cool experience. So it's definitely like helped a lot with my confidence, a lot with my interview aspects, because it can be really intimidating when you interview people and they're kind of just like, either they lost or they don't really want to have an interview right now. You kind of learn how to keep it quick and just get what you need to get done and then go on with your day.
How did you approach that basketball game? Because obviously you're so involved in hockey. And I know with me, like, I don't know basketball all that much. I would be like legit lost in the sauce. I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah. So like I'm a baseball and hockey girl. So that was a really like intimidating moment for me. I spent the week going into it just like studying every single basketball term. I had like a sheet because I know a girl in the States who does like play-by-play for basketball. And I was like, hey, like, I'm supposed to be sideline reporting this basketball game. Is there any terms that I should like be using? And she sent me a whole sheet. And I was like studying that sheet head to toe. I was like, I'm going to remember it. So when I approached it, I kind of just like, I tried my best and I put in the terms that I could. The interviews, you can keep it simple. You don't really have to use any crazy terms. But I would do like these 20-second hits after each quarter, just kind of recapping what had gone on. Keep it light, keep it simple. And it went pretty well. Like, overall, we were getting good feeds, like feedback from the viewers. So it was hard at first, but I feel good and I feel like I could do it again. So,
yeah, like I know with my school, actually, we're not allowed to talk to coaches or players for ringside reporting. It's really weird.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's because there was some incident in the past that went wrong or whatever. But for right now, like, the hockey games that I do, we're not allowed to talk to the coaches or the players. So it's up to us to find the storylines, which kind of makes it a little bit more difficult, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess with me not getting that access and you having that access with Brock there, would that make it easier for you to kind of get reps to ask the coaches when you're interviewing the Steelheads players and coaches? Did you kind of think of it like that?
Like a little bit. It's kind of like you kind of have to approach hockey players a little bit different than you would approach like a basketball coach. Like, for example, the coach that I interviewed had just come off like a 4-game winning streak, and he had won like the thing at the Paint the Meridian Red beating Brock. And he was like, yeah, it's like so cool, blah, 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 blah. It was a good interview. And then with hockey players, like if they're winning, like you got to kind of keep it quick. And like with the guys, I try to just keep it simple because they're not supposed to be like complicated questions, obviously, because it's mostly for like the entertainment aspect, and just like to kind of hype up like a first star moment. So I keep my questions pretty light, and then by the second question, they're pouring the water. So
yeah, and obviously you're trying to run away from that. You're not trying to get drenched in the Gatorade.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I know, it's so bad.
So like me, actually, you have found some experience hosting a podcast at Brock there with the SBMA Council podcast. What does your involvement look like there?
So I do all their social media, and then I'll hop on an episode every once in a while when they need me to kind of do host some of our guests and stuff like that. But I post all of our social medias right now. So on our SBMA Council podcast, I'm doing that. We're kind of stepping up our game this semester just because last semester I was so busy and I was like, oh, this is a lot. But this semester we're really stepping it up. We're going to get some TikToks out. We're going to clip some of our videos and get them on TikTok to get some views. But yeah, I do all their social media right now. So that's been really fun.
How did you end up finding out about working at the Women's World Championship?
So I found out in January on LinkedIn. I saw the thing and I was like, this looks pretty cool. And it's in Brampton, so like it's not far. I was looking through like all the positions. I'm like, okay, I don't want to do social media. I'm not a social media girl. There was like event promotions. I'm like, I don't know what that would entail. So we'll do that. And then there was also in-game house. And I was like, there's no way I'd get in-game house. There's no way. So we had to fill out, like, when we did it, it was, like, our experiences and then why we want to volunteer for Hockey Canada. And I had, like, a 2-page thing. And I had to, like, separately, like, email the people. And I had to be like, yeah, so this is mine. Just add on to it. And I remember I got an email back. And it was like, hey, like, can we meet for an interview? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And so I met with his name's Damien. And I met with Damien Darcy, And they were like, so do you want to be our host? And I was like, I 100% want to be your host. And then they're like, do you want to be the chair of event promotions? And I'm like, sure. Yeah.
Sign me up.
I'll do both. So that was like the moment that like I was like, wow, this is so real. And then we're going through like the volunteer like orientation. And it's like just seeing my name at the bottom of the screen where it's like in-game host, Kendra Doyle, chair of event promotions, Kendra Doyle. I was like, wow, this is so for real. Cause like Hockey Canada is like at the top of the page. And I'm just like, there's no way this is happening. And then I started like slotting in people for volunteering with, because event promotions, that was like all our game time people. It was basically like game time stuff. And that literally like was insane. Like I can't believe that that whole opportunity happened, and I will never forget it because I was just an 18-year-old girl who had never hosted before. And after two games, I was like, I got this. And it was so, so much fun. The crowd was insane. I will never forget all the girls coming up to me being like, I just want to be you. I want to be you. And I'm just like, I'm 18. There's no way you want to be like.
You're making me feel so old. God damn it.
Yeah. I was like, guys, I'm only 18. But it was so cool. Like, they're just saying that that's like something they want to pursue. And it's like, I'm just starting to pursue it. So it was crazy.
Well, let's talk about the whole tournament. Like, what is your biggest takeaway from it?
My biggest takeaway is probably all of the relationships I was like lucky enough to make. I worked with, like, you probably know Emmy Rain Curtis.
Yeah.
I worked with this girl named Caitlin. She is like an older sister to me now. We saw each other like last week. She went to the Steelheads game. And I worked with our DJ named Matthew, and I still text him to this day. I still text my bosses. And I got to like connect with Julie Tresheri, Reagan Subban, all of them. And that was just like one of the coolest moments ever. It's like, I never thought I'd be like mutual with them. And now like I am. So it's crazy, right? But I would definitely say like just embracing the moment. Like, I am so thankful that that whole tournament, like I was lucky enough to be the host. It taught me that like your hard work really does pay off. When you want something, you got to go for it. So definitely that. But also it just taught me how to be a host.
Well, as an in-game host there, how did you end up deciding which activities, you know, to do at the event and kind of which activities didn't make the event?
So a lot of them were like already planned, but we had like decided like to how to like kind of just like fix them up and down, you know what I mean? Like, but it was fun. Like, it was really just a good experience for me.
What did the job consist of?
So I would do all of the reading hits, whether that was like sponsorships, and that would be like on the camera. So I'd just speak into like the Jumbotron basically. Then we did like giveaway contests. So we'd have fans do like a dance off. We would have them be like a best dressed, and then intermission, there was like a mini stick game, like kind of stuff like that. It was very similar to like what the Steelheads do. So like the transition was pretty good. But yeah, just like little activities, stuff like that. Getting the crowd hyped, that was like the biggest one. Like whenever people would see me, they're like, can I get an interview? And I'm just like, yes.
So how, yeah, actually, why don't you expand on that? Like, how did you like figure out what, if you're having bubble soccer or bubble hockey on the ice, let's say, how did you choose, you know, who to pick from the crowd?
I literally, like, I didn't have to pick. My promotions crew picked. It was awesome. I was just like, yeah, let's host.
I'm just here for the vibes.
Yeah, like, that's even what I do at the Steelheads. Like, they'll literally pick the contestants, and I just have to know their names.
I mean, it's easy for you, right?
Yeah, like, it's great. I don't, I'm having a hard time going through a crowd and being like, you, you, you.
Yeah, because you have to exclude a lot of people.
Yeah, like I don't want to be the bad guy.
When hockey is over, you found time to help out with the Barrie BayCats. How fortunate were you to have that opportunity so close to where you live?
I have nothing but good things to say about that team. I literally love them so much. They're like my heart team. I worked with them like basically when I was first getting into sports too. So, and my first season, I definitely like didn't do as much as I did in the second season. I picked it up and I was traveling with them and I was doing everything you could ever imagine. But they really gave me a lot of opportunity to get comfortable. They let me host, they let me report, they let me do social media, like literally everything you could ever imagine, they let me do. And they just trusted me. And I love it. I love the staff there. And I love all of the guys who play on the team. They're awesome. They treat me like their little sister, because they're all a little bit older. And literally, like, I'm like their baby sister. And it's so nice because they're so protective over me, which can be a little scary sometimes, but they are.
What was it like to be around that team throughout the whole season and even into the playoffs?
It was awesome. Like, the comfort levels really grew. Like, at first, like, their social media presence, so like, we don't want to be on camera. And then when I started like making it a little bit more fun, that's when like they get more comfortable and they're like, I have so many videos of them just doing the most stupid things ever. And I love it because like fans love to see like their personalities. And like this year we have a lot of stuff planned with like our social media manager, how he wants me to like do these segments with the guys, asking them fun questions because they know that I'll get the answers out of them. And also like we're just going to step it up in general with hosting, and the guys have been so supportive like with my career and like with my hosting. They're always like, I want to hear you talk more during the game. And I'm like, I know, guys, we just got to figure out where we're gonna add that in. So season 3 is gonna be insane.
So you are back for season 3?
I am back for season
3. Can confirm that.
Yeah,
that's gonna be electric, because they should be like, that's a franchise that's just gonna be going for the future, ever growing because of the playoffs, right? Just builds on that confidence.
Yeah, I won a championship this year, so let's hope.
That's the expectation, nothing less.
Nothing less. We made it to finals. This year I want championship.
You guys made it to finals against Hamilton, right?
No, we were against Welland.
Okay. So that's a little bit, you know, a little bit of a rival for you, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Welland's a huge like rivalry for us too. And it's weird because like I live like near Welland, but I don't cheer for Welland.
No, not at all. I mean, that would be kind of weird to cheer for Welland and then to work for the Barrie team.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't betray them like that.
Do many people in SBMA get internships with Welland?
Yeah, there's so many. There's like a lot. So there's a huge rivalry. Like there's so many people like within Sport Management Council that like work for Welland. And it's so awkward because when like Welland won, I was just kind of like,
they have the upper hand. You just sit quiet.
Yeah, I was like, guys, like I don't want to talk about this. Like I'm upset.
We are mourning the loss of the Barrie BayCats. Kendra Doyle is unavailable for the entire month.
I was so upset. Like it was really bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you work for a team, you obviously want them to win it all, right?
Yeah. Like if the like whatever happens with the Steelheads too, like I'll probably cry. Like, I'd probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, with what Saginaw acquired at the deadline, like, oh boy, they look like the team to win the chip.
Their game last night against Windsor, I was just like.
If Saga makes it to the finals against Saginaw, uh-oh.
That's in the future.
Very in the future. So you mentioned at the World Championship, you got noticed by fans. You told me that you get noticed a lot. Like, what's it like being in the spotlight a bunch of times?
It's really overwhelming sometimes because there's so many moments where people want to stop and talk to you and you literally just don't have time. Like, you're trying to get to, like, a hit and they're like, can we take a picture? And you're just like, you so bad. Like want to stop and like just give them as much pictures as they ever want, but you can't. But I always like would go back. I'd always be like, wait here, I'll be right back. And just because I want, like, I didn't want to ignore people. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, so sometimes it's really nice, but it can be overwhelming too. Just because like pressure goes on you. And then when the pressure's on you, you're just kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. It's a bit intense.
It is very intense because like, it's kind of like the same things like with the Steelheads, like, people are like always like, hey, and like, that's so like, I love that. And I wish I could just like in between hits, like, I wish I could just like stop and talk to them, but like, I can't. So I always like try to find them after. So like, I can have like conversations with them. But like at Worlds, it was so much harder because literally we had to be everywhere. So I was barely in the same spot at one time. So like when I wanted to like stop and talk to someone, I literally just couldn't.
Because you were in two places at once, it felt like.
I literally was. I was everywhere.
Your current job with the Steelheads, you mentioned it multiple times. What was that moment like when you earned that job?
I was like shocked, but I was also so excited because I spent most of the summer having no idea what I was going to be doing second year. So I actually was taking a job with the Brock women's hockey team doing social media because I was like, I have no idea what I want to do, so let's do socials. And then all of a sudden, the Steelheads posted that they need an arena host, and I was like, oh, okay. So I applied and I got an interview, and then basically at the interview they were like, yeah, like it's yours, you just have to say that you want it. And I was
give
like,
it to
yeah.
You on a silver platter.
Yeah, well, I know their other, like, I know Celine, and Celine's awesome. Like, I love her, and she's been great. I've seen her at a few games so far, so it's really nice to have her like supporting as well. So yeah, I took the job with them, and then I was so, so excited. I couldn't wait to get started, and I still love it. I love every moment.
So when I started interviewing CHL players for my podcast here, it actually increased my knowledge of the CHL. I didn't know as much as before, but did you know as much about the OHL before applying to the Steelheads?
Like, honestly, no. I kind of would just keep up. Like, I'd look at the standings and stuff like that. And I knew who was like top scorers and like all of that, but I never like knew like all the stats that come with it. Like, I never really thought of like that aspect. And also, like, I've never paid more attention to like trades in my life. Cause I was like sitting there, I'm like, Miss Sangha, don't do anything. Don't get rid of them, please. but then it's like crazy seeing like what Saginaw just did and how Peter Rose like, see ya. So like, I've never really like kept up until like I started working with them. But now I literally find myself only watching OHL. I have like my NHL viewer, like I've watched like maybe 5 Bruins games. Like,
what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's weird for me.
Yeah.
Like, I just like haven't had time. So like, cause if I'm not like working, then I'm doing schoolwork or I'm with friends and I'm just like not finding myself like watching the Bruins. Cause like my life is now revolving around like the Steelheads, which I'm not complaining about. But like, I just like find myself not really as like in depth paying attention to them.
And with the Steelheads, do you kind of pay attention to their previous games to come up with hits to ask the players?
Yeah. So I do, on the bench hits before games. And usually I'll do like player, to watch. Or against London, I did like all of the stats that we had against them. So like our last game, I did our matchup. I did what player had what points, our save percentages for the goalies. And then with interviews, I kind of base it all off of like how each star was that night. So like our teddy bear toss, like I was like, Porter scored the teddy bear toss goal. Like he'll be first star. And it was Angus because Angus had 4 points that night. So I kind of took that and added that on to like the teddy bear toss. Like you kind of have to like keep it really simple because you can't like pack it with like two questions in one sentence. But I find myself watching like the stats a lot. Like I'll try to incorporate like their past. But they also have a lot of superstitions. Like there's been times where like if they're at like a certain amount of games, like with the guys, they'll be like, no, they can't be the player to watch because like they're scared they won't like perform. Yeah, like there's been times where I'm like, oh, like I'll do so and so, and they're like, no, don't
off
do
limits.
Yeah.
Do you have any superstitions?
Do I have any superstitions? Not really. Like I just am very like focused before games. Like I'll listen to, like the Morgan Wallen playlist like my entire time. But I won't really like, I don't have any like certain things. So.
Is Morgan Wallen your go-to for pregame?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Are you suggesting his songs in the locker room?
Probably not. But
Oh.
I've heard some of the songs that the guys have on aux, like when they play like kickball, and like you hear Broadway Girls, you hear Stand By Me, because that's like, or you'll hear like mix-ups, like I think they got like some SoundCloud like matchups there. Because I know that Mark Boudreau is on, he's on aux, so
no one's dethroned him yet.
No. I guess he's got good aux. Like from what I've heard, it's pretty good. So like good for him. Really, really happy for them. but I have heard like the Broadway Girls. So like I do like to hear that. I think I've heard Last Night too by Morgan
Wallen.
Okay. So you know like the upbeat stuff. We're not gonna hear any sad songs. Obviously. But yeah, I would say those like some Morgan Wallen is definitely my go-to just because I love him. So.
What has been your favorite game of the year so far?
I have to say Teddy Bear Toss game. That was so much fun. I loved that game.
Yeah, so actually, my only Teddy Bear Toss game that I've ever been to, this was when obviously Brantford was in Hamilton, and it happened to be like legit the afternoon after my exam. My exam was in the morning, first thing. I get up, I write it. My dad then picks me up, I think from Toronto, and then we're kind of like rushing. This is rushing to the Bulldogs game. I meet my friends there and we get seated. And next thing you know, like within 5 minutes, the goal happens. It was actually Jorian Donovan who scored. It was pretty funny. And what ended up happening, I got my phone in my left hand and then the teddy bear in my right hand. And so I'm right-handed. I don't throw left-handed. So I might have it wrong. I might have it opposite. But either way, the video has me just walking down the steps, and launching the teddy. So it was, yes. So the teddy bear was in my left hand. And so I launched the teddy bear. It did not go over the glass. It made it a few rows before the glass.
It happens.
It was such an all-time embarrassing moment. I was like, you know what? The kid that's sitting in the front row there, I probably just hit him in the head. He can throw it over.
But it happens. Like there, you see it so much. Like it's crazy. We actually had a lot more teddy bears than I thought we would have. Like the guys were doing like snow angels in the teddy bears. Like I have a picture of Xander Vecchia like just sitting in like these teddy bears. Like it was so cool. And like Angus and Porter had these big teddy bears coming at me. And I was like, this is just so fun.
So what was it like for that experience for you? Because that would have been your first, you know, being a ringside reporter, teddy bear toss, obviously.
Yeah, so it was my first, like, teddy bear toss. I was, like, an in-game host and all that. So it was really cool, like, kind of the whole game, we're just, like, anticipating it because we had to, like, run down there right away. As soon as that goal scored, like, we're down. And so we Porter scored the goal, and then in come the teddy bears. All the guys are like on the ice. They want pictures, of course. So they're coming up to us getting pictures. It was really fun to see them like interact with it. Cause they were having so much fun. There were so many big teddy bears. Like we had a group, like, I think it was like Will Haley, McGregor Richmond, Kieran Witkowski, and I'm gonna say Will Eglinton. They all had like these big teddy bears, and they're all just like McGregor had it on his like shoulders, and it's so funny, like just to see the way they interacted with it, but also like fans are just having so much fun just taking pictures of it. And all like the guys were just like piling them up, jumping in. It was really cool. And then they were all good to help us put them back on the truck.
How excited? Oh, sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
Okay. How excited are you for the second half to get underway here?
I'm excited. It's going to be good. Like, I really want us, we've kind of had a rough go the past few weeks. But I think we're going to pick it up again. We're going to get going. Because obviously we had a really strong start to the season. But again, we're a young team, so we'll figure it out. I'm excited to see what happens.
As we're closing off this interview here, this actually won't be the last time you'll be hearing from Kendra, as we're thinking of hosting a segment where we interview Mississauga Steelheads players. That's right. So yeah, becoming my co-host for a segment, that should be fun. That's something that we both are looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm excited. We'll see if we'll get one of the guys on. It'll be fun.
Well, I'd like to thank again Kendra Doyle for joining me on today's podcast. Thank you again, Kendra.
Thank you for having me.